So, the first piece is a piece from Revolba and Kormish. Eliezer asked Rivka for water, and Eliezer said the test was going to be if she's going to respond to offer him water and then also give to drink to his animal. So the Kamadir Agdar Shal Chesed Shehu Ribui, she did above me. Chesed Hukesh Anoisim Yosim Mashim Ravakshim. Chesed is when you give more than you're asked. Believe all, without limits. Not because there's something lacking. I want to give. So I'm going to give as much as I can. It's regardless of how much you necessarily are lacking, I'm happy to give much more than that.
They are there, they
do. When do you get the title of being a balstaka? When you ask,
after the regular meeting,
we give more. If you ask someone and respond, what am I saying? I'm saying, it's appropriate to not to bore you. Right? But I'm giving beyond what you really need because I want to give. I feel that is what a human being is supposed to be, as a person who's a giver. And therefore, even though I can make considerations why I shouldn't have to do that, that's irrelevant. So Masupra, skip down. So there's a lock. If you don't have any wine, you can use what's called Chamar Medina, the quote unquote the wine of the neighborhood of the country. So if this country wine is available, so what would you use in place of wine? We would use beer. We would use maybe a fruit juice. That's, we don't have wine available. We'll find some other type of substance which will function in our society like the wine. Right. So you want to know, does milk meet that criteria? That was the person that Charlie asked. Rub on a shalom, it doesn't work. And also, the shayol on the daba, when he gave him a large amount of money, shalom is a harabanit. So the wife asked him. Why did you give him so much money? The point is, the person couldn't afford wine. You pass on that milk is not an option. So give him money, enough money to buy wine. You gave him way, way beyond enough money you need to buy wine. What's the pshat? I don't know, Rav. The Rav answered. And he said to the Lord, "Bishul kol tzarchei asura." Give a talk. She lost. Say, "Hevanti she'en lo klal shum davar b'tzarchei asura." Ki ech efshalishus kol of besuras achag she besoris. If the meal is flatulent, he couldn't use it.
Right.
No, obviously he had no meat.
Right.
So it means he basically had matzahs, and that was it. So I gave him more money because I understood that if he didn't have for the day, he didn't have for the next day either. Right? So that's the story. So the point that we hear is, if I'm really, really focusing on you, I'm aware of what you're. Very few people really ask what they need. You're embarrassed to ask, so you ask for a little bit. But what they really need is a lot more than that. Right? This person came and asked, "Can you be with the milk?" That wasn't really his problem. Was way beyond the milk, right? You're not going to ask that, you know. That's not, you know, it's not appropriate, it's not fair, it's not, it's embarrassing, whatever it is. So you ask a little bit. So if you want to be Baal Chesed, you have to be maven that there's more to the story. That's step number one. Step number two is that what he's saying earlier is even if
you have somebody else.
Yeah. What?
Even if they don't need it.
Even if they don't need it, but I want to give.
Yeah.
But, you know, just tell my mother-in-law a little bit. My mother-in-law, her pleasure in life was taking care of her family. Taking care of her. My family used to bring home. He used to bring home people, guys from the halfway house. People from the halfway house. Like, they're not totally with it, you know. Interesting people. And he used to bring, you know, like, they had certain people in the neighborhood, like, single men and stuff like that. But also, like, some of them were, he had the radio secrecies, etc. And he would bring them home sometimes with no notice. Somebody just came to Menachem Bovo. He said that he was Rebbe in out-of-town place. And the school was taking the kids on their school trip at the end of the year to a place which he felt was inappropriate. Wasn't appropriate to take the kids there.
The answer was no, maybe
so
not.
We can't,
it seems like
can't tell the kids no because it's not fair. Your own kids. So he told the kids that I'll take you to Washington, D.C. He called my in-laws.
Right.
Brought. Came with his kids in those house. They slept at the house. My mother-in-law made them breakfast, lunch, and supper for 3 days.
Wow.
And she did this all the time. There's constantly people coming to Washington. My show used to take them touring. You know, he would, you know, on a Sunday or take over a day from work, and he would show them what, you know, where to. He knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law would break breakfast, pack a lunch for them, and then come home and make us up. They were going to the restaurants, like, you know. So, and she did this all the time. But her in-law was taking care of people. You know, she, towards the end of her life, as she got older, when the kids were out of the house, she became a gananet. She was a kindergarten teacher. She loved working with kids. She stopped working as a gananet at the age of 89.
Wow.
The kids loved her. And she was the only thing, you know, the kids that come out home at a couple in the morning, like, to get them out of the car. She was the one who stand outside in the cold, the rain, where everyone was bringing the kids inside. Nobody else wanted to do it, so she did it.
Oh, wow.
And the kids sometimes would be, you know, pouting, and they wanted to come home, and she would have, "You're such a beautiful coat. Let me see your beautiful coat."
Ah.
You know, she hopped how to deal with them. You know, getting off. But she... food. You know, they're particularly expensive with the war, that their food was limited.
Yes.
Her hanno was feeding people.
I
learned that very early on in our marriage. We go for Yom Tov. My mother-in-law, chicken was a side dish. You know, there was at least, you know, there could be a sweet and sour meat and the pickled tongue, and there could be sometimes even duck, and then there's also chicken. And then she would make, you know, two types of kugels, and then she would make some types of mixed vegetables, and then it could be five or six side dishes, four mains, and then for dessert, like, you know, she could make, you know, one time, you know, it says, my brother-in-law, my wife, you know, my wife's sister's husband, he likes apple pie. My brother-in-law and Walter, one of them liked cherry, one of them liked blueberry pie. So there was three different pies. There was an apple pie, blueberry pie, and cherry pie. Because Harry likes cherry pie, and Howard likes blueberry pie, and Moshe likes apple pie, you know. And then there was, and of course, in case somebody liked that, she had a vanilla and a chocolate ice cream pie in the fridge. And the freezer also, just in case, you know. Like, mommy... But she would serve and serve and serve and serve.
Oh, wow.
And then I would sit down, I would eat. She would sit down and say, "Ellie, I didn't eat anything." Like, "Ma, I just ate, like..." So I thought, I would wait to eat until she sat down.
Because
she would have the... Her simple yelta wasn't eating. It was feeling that she's feeding people. So her simple yelta meant that I had to wait to eat until she sat down. Because otherwise she wouldn't have simple yelta. She wouldn't... If she didn't see it, if I told her I ate, you know, it didn't have the same relation. She felt so good taking care of people.
Wow.
That's what he's saying. But her eye was an eye for chesed. Like, she could have a guest, and then the guest would come back 5 years later. That guest didn't like piltfish, and she would have something else for the first course.
Yeah.
She would remember.
Yeah, right away.
She came to us for a visit. The next time we're there, we were sleeping in the basement, and I noticed that the toilet paper in the bathroom was a different brand. It was a brand that she had seen by us. She assumed it's how I prefer that brand. So she went out to get that brand. The soap was the brand of soap she's seen by us. And she would notice all the things that she wanted to give. She wanted to give in the best way possible. She would notice all these things. My wife was like that also. Like my wife would pick up like a guest. Like he said, you once before you didn't like liver I gave you, made you eggs instead. Like,
wow.
And she'll pick that up and notice it and care enough to do something about it. My sugar was light, it was wild to watch, like how she would pick these things up, and then just because she wanted to give.
According to them, it's always like,
to be. And if you want to give, you have to give with the full in hearts, the best way possible. That was her attitude. When she would make she would cut them. And she wrapped them up in the wax paper, you know, and put them in a bag. It had to be done with full of hearts. And as I mentioned, she had to before 4 o'clock in the morning to do it. She would do it.
Wow.
My shver went to davening, and then he went from davening straight. You know, she would get up every morning before I left the house and make sure that he had food. That he didn't have to make his own food. Because you take care of your husband.
Like, wow.
And that meant getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
You do it.
You do it. And then once she was up, she said, you know, I can't fall back asleep. She would, you know, there was something else, etc. But there was not a time until she got sick. And Shabbos morning, when he used to eat something before davening, you know.
She got up to back.
The table was set, and he had his plate, and he had his knife, and he had his fork, and he had his napkin, and he had his thing. You know, and she'd go back to sleep sometimes. And she says, Shabbos, I can go back to sleep.
Wow.
But, you know, and then he would, you know, we would have to leave early because we had to 40 minutes walk to Woodside.
Oh, right.
You know, like, and, but she took, her law in life was giving. It was sure the Gazak to watch her. Like, twice a year they would go to Reading, Pennsylvania, you know, to all the outlets, and they would just buy presents for every kid, every grandkid, you know. Like twice a year, well, you're getting, and they would send that everybody.
Just give.
Now we know of giving. That's what he's talking about. It's just like the pleasure of you want to be a giver.
So
the fact that you, Ma, I already have, you know, three scarves, you know, that you gave me. Hell, you need another scarf. like. It's very cute because I still have a lot of the stuff, you know, like, I'm still wearing the pajamas my mother gave me, you know, and gave me, like, you know, like, shoot, my pajamas and ties and scarves, you know, for the man, for the kid, you know, always something, she had to be giving. Like, that was what she saw her role in life was
being.
You know, who knows what Marshall Skishburn is like, how you... So that was what allowed her to focus forward as opposed to focus backwards. She wasn't thinking about what she lost. She's thinking about taking care of what she has. Because there's a really special person. She had a smile that could light up a room. She just loved people.
And
the grandkids, for sure. And my grandkids.
The
best. But, you know, I always felt like that, but by during the Shiva now, you know, one point in the world, he's made a comment, he says, you know, everybody in the family knew that your kids were their favorites.
He says, yeah. They really?
Yeah. They were.